Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to make a list, and just in time for the holidays, we're going to make actually our holiday wish list. Plus, could Blizzard be walking themselves right into a conflict of interest situation? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
Red Bull Conquest wrapped up the Capcom Cup season with three major Street Fighter tournaments and Punk winning two of them. Punk won the NA Regional Final as well as the Red Bull Conquest premier event. American CJ Truth won the open event, and in a twist of fate, American Chris Tatarian snuck into the final qualification spot for Capcom Cup on points, as CJ Truth and Punk were already qualified on points.
Okay, hang on. I need to know, is CJ Truth that guy's actual name?
I think it is.
Okay, because that is the most, like, deserving in-ring name I've ever heard. Like, that guy should be a professional wrestler.
No, I hope it is. I hope it is his real name.
You know what I mean? Like,
There's no way CJ Truth is his actual name.
CJ Truth and Punk, like, literally, I feel like WWE has spoken
those.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Exactly. What did you think of this, Norris?
I thought it was great. Rebel Conquest is always fun to watch. Punk finally, for some reason, got it together, and then that...
Because he was a hot item for a minute, then fell off, and is he starting to, you know, bring together a comeback?
I think if it's the time for somebody to get hot, right now is the time going into Capcom Cup, so he's got the momentum going into the big show.
Just real quick, guys, I hate to dash your hopes, but it's actually even worse. CJ Truth actually has two first names. He's Chris Jason.
Chris Ew. Jason Truth?
No, Chris Jason.
Oh.
That's his
real name.
Oh no.
CJ Chris Jason.
I understand that now.
A new team will be joining the EU LCS for their inaugural season in the franchise model. The Spanish squad Origin, founded by XPeke, will be joining the league after being acquired by Refresh Entertainment. Refresh are best known in esports as being the parent company of Astralis.
That's a good legacy.
That's a nice legacy to have. I'm curious to know if they'll continue to go under the name Origin or if they would rebrand to Astralis. I would think they would want to rebrand, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, Astralis is a pretty hot brand right now.
That's a great name to have behind you.
I would rebrand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Early on in free agency, some of the biggest names are off the board in League of Legends. Faker ended a ton of speculation when he re-signed with SK Telecom T1, meaning he'll be one of the few players to return to that team this year. In addition, Jensen has left Cloud9 and will play for Team Liquid this year.
How big of a deal is that, Joe?
Huge. Jensen is a great player.
With Double Lift now.
Yeah, he'll be on Double Lift's team. Team Liquid is major acquisition for them. I'm wondering who's going to replace Jensen on the C9 squad, so that's definitely a big one. Faker hit free agency, so everyone was thinking, like, oh my god, what team's he going to go to? He could go anywhere he wants. He resigns with SK.
But do you think that now that's indicative of SK going to want to build a team around Faker?
Yeah, they're
going to
build a whole new squad around him, because basically everyone else who matters is gone, so we'll see what happens there. Nike will become the official apparel brand of China's League of Legends division, the LPL. The five-year, $144 million deal will see Nike providing clothes, accessories, and shoes to the Chinese teams. Nike will receive naming rights on the LPL Alliance uniforms.
That's huge.
Huge. You know how long I've waited to see a Nike swoosh on some esports apparel, man? I've been waiting for this. And now it just makes this whole thing feel that much more official.
It really does. Because, I mean, you need those players like Nike, and Champion and, you know, all of those apparel makers active in the space to really make it feel official. And of course, the apparel that they make is really nice. It's quality. So, you know, I'm excited to see what this brings.
Yeah, I think I owe an apology to League of Legends as well, because I felt like they were sort of falling behind in the, you know, getting big partners sort of market compared to the OWL. So congratulations. That's well deserved. That's
they're,
a big one.
They're storming back onto the scene. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Sonic Fox keeps giving us reasons to cheer for him as he donated $10,000 of his $40,000 win in the Injustice 2 Pro Series this weekend to his grand finals opponent, Rewind. Rewind's father was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer and was in surgery a day before the tournament began. In a post-match interview, the champion said, "I don't do this for the money. Rewind is one of my good friends, and I'm happy to have shared the stage with him."
That's really cool,
I
man.
I love this kid.
He he's so easy to get behind, right? Like, I mean, the furry thing is a little weird, admittedly, but like, honestly, I think that this dude is my favorite guy going in esports right now. All the best to him, and what a generous heart right there.
Yeah, like you say, the furry thing, you know, whether it's your thing or not, if you get it or you don't get it, at the end of the day, it doesn't change the fact that he's just an awesome dude.
Like, it's hard to ignore, right? Like, it's, you know,
he
like...
He wears it in his post-match interview.
That's right. What I'm talking about, exactly. So, it's very much front and center, and so you got to kind of square that circle, and you go, okay, but then, he does stuff like this.
You know, it's like when Prince first came on the scene and people were like, "Ah, oh, that dude is so weird, but his tracks is slamming."
Exactly.
I
like,
hate him.
I don't know how to feel about the pants with the butt cheeks cut out of them, but like, God, I love Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Following up on a story we talked about last month, Evo champion and Korean FGC vet Infiltration has been dropped by his team, Panda Global. In a statement, Panda Global CEO and founder Dr. Alan Bunny stated that their investigation did discover that Infiltration was charged with the equivalent of misdemeanor battery. In addition to that termination, Infiltration has also voluntarily pulled out of the Capcom Cup for 2018 and 2019.
Yikes.
This whole story, like left and right, him, his wife, all of it, it's all ugly.
Yeah, it's it seems like when some of those facts were laid bare that no parties involved look good in this at all.
Nope.
So that's probably the right thing to do.
He's terminated by his team. He's voluntarily basically stepping by exiting Capcom Cup. You're basically stepping away from Street Fighter.
And on top of that, Capcom did their own investigation as well. I mean, there was no way that he was going to be able to play this game professionally for the foreseeable future.
But I mean, I think that this actually underscores a bigger point where, you know, like if you've got demons in your personal life that will come back to bite you. You can't always separate the personal and professional.
Especially if those things have a paper trail.
Exactly. So it really behooves you to be a healthy individual and surround yourself with healthy relationships. And I mean, dude, speaking as someone who spent way too long in an unhealthy relationship that I got out of and I'm better for it, you know, like it take time to evaluate stuff like that for yourself personally. Because it can really end up having a big impact on your career.
Virtus Pro are off to a strong start in Dota 2 this year. The Kuala Lumpur Major wrapped up over the weekend, and Virtus Pro found themselves atop the standings. After being knocked down into the lower bracket by Team Secret, they powered their way through Evil Geniuses to secure the rematch, which they wound up winning to take the first major of the year. That's all for the Checkpoint Esports update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. With new esports leagues popping up regularly, and some of them, you know, flying under the radar, when it was announced last spring that H1Z1 was starting its own league, you know, we here at Checkpoint were just a wee bit skeptical.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not going to surprise anyone to hear that 7 months after it was founded, the H1Z1 league is coming to an end.
Listen, here's
a bad run.
How many times do we say this? Every game does not need to be an esport. New game, old game, game that's in development, it doesn't matter. There's not enough room for every game to be an esport at the highest level.
As a developer, you need to have the presence of mind to really be able to understand your audience and whether or not your game can sustain something like an esport. I understand, you know, Cliffy B, who made Lawbreakers, right? Like, Lawbreakers had some fans
funds there at the end. It wasn't enough to sustain it, and it certainly wasn't enough to make it competitive. But yet there are still people who complain at him Twitter
that
and
was
go,
the worst.
"Oh, I can't believe you turned your back on your fans." Listen, you, as a developer, you've got to know your audience. Clearly, H1Z1 was not going to be able to put up a competitive scene against the likes of Fortnite and PUBG. Come on, that was obvious.
Do you guys remember, we had actually one time here played H1Z1, and if I remember correctly, the end of those matches always just ended up with people driving like in cars in circles at each other. How was that even supposed to be compelling to watch?
But even on top of that, to Nate's point, I think it's also like a lot of arrogance coming from these game developers, because they think that they see people, you know, 30,000 people playing it on Twitch or 5,000 people playing it on Twitch at one time. That's not enough for you to sustain an esport.
Thank you.
Period.
And that's the thing is, you know, this league gets founded in April. They've got two splits that are supposed to happen. They meet their payment, you know, requirements for the first split. Suddenly, second split comes along. All of a sudden, teams started complaining that they're not getting their payouts from the league. They're forced to be continue paying their players, even though play isn't actually happening.
And
it's a bad scene.
And I understand that the esports whole thing is very growth right now, but it's also at a point where it's growing where things like this could end up crushing esports. You don't want to be able to give esports a bad name like that, where pots aren't being paid out and you're not being able to make events and stuff like
Let's
that.
Let's not make it a bubble.
You know what? I don't think that there's any love lost for the H1Z1 competitive scene. Goodbye to that league and good riddance. But listen, we want to hear from you. How disappointed are you that H1Z1 league didn't work out? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Still ahead on Checkpoint. You know how much we love lists here on Checkpoint. So today's list is going to be a little bit more personal. We're going to build our own holiday wish list. Plus, Blizzard is walking a pretty thin line when it comes to some of the companies getting involved with OWL. We'll explain why. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
League of Legends has confirmed their second openly gay character. We'll tell you about it.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're building a list, and I sure hope Santa listens to this, because we're going to be building our holiday wish list. Plus, is Blizzard getting themselves into a messy conflict of interest situation? Those conversations are ahead today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com. As League of Legends enters the offseason, a new champion has been revealed. Nika will boast the ability to masquerade as other characters, but she's also notable in that she's League's second openly gay champion after Varus.
And she also has the worst opinions of any League of Legends champion ever.
Yep. That is specific and funny.
It is, because we have a very good friend. Her in-game name is Nika, and her opinions are basically the worst.
Terrible.
That's true.
We love her, though.
I'm actually surprised by this. Over 100 characters? This is only the secondly openly gay character?
Well, I mean, there's, of course, the characters where everyone thinks, well, maybe they are, but this was, like, only the second time where a dev has been... Like, yeah, someone literally tweets them and says, man, Nika's voice chat in-game, she seems a lot nicer to the female characters than the male ones. And he's like, yeah, she's openly lesbian. And they're like, oh, okay.
I mean, well, that would explain that.
That'd do it.
Mm-hmm.
This week marks the release of Turf Wars, the second Spider-Man DLC in The City That Never Sleeps. Reviews are generally positive and say that this pack is The Empire Strikes Back, marking a darker tone than the first round.
Ooh. Has anyone tried Mary Jane in it?
Listen, I know that there has been a lot of games to play between Pokemon and Red Dead, Fallout. I mean, and I know that all of our attention is spread, but did anyone go back for this DLC?
I've done the heist. I haven't done this one yet.
I have the season pass.
Anyone planning on it?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm
going to
do it this weekend.
Probably tonight.
All right, I'll be interested to see what you think.
Rumors have been swirling that Anthem was set to be delayed again, or already had been, after a leak that the game was a mess. BioWare has spoken up, insisting that the rumors are not accurate, and their release date remains February 22nd, 2019.
First of all,
damage control.
I need to talk about some of your verbiage there.
Okay.
A leak that it's a mess? That one leaked, BioWare. We can see this. We know
that
it's
was the trailer.
That was the trailer. A mess, man.
The game
Come on. Is
a mess off the rip, man. Listen, I've never gone so quickly from being curious about a game.
That very first trailer.
A year, and now completely actually loathing every time I see anything with it in the headlines. I actively hate this game.
I mean, it just looks like grungy gray military suits, mechs,
if you took Armor Core and made it wet.
That takes effort.
I'll tell you what, if we do a review of this game, that's going to be like our little one-line review of it. That's it right
like
there.
Like Armored Core, but whack.
Yes.
Nintendo has given a dire warning for players enjoying Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu. Be very careful whilst transferring Pokemon between Go and Let's Go, because losing the connection could also mean losing the Pokemon. They're exploring possible fixes for the issue, and for now have given a list of best practices whilst transferring your Pokemon.
So it's like every other Pokemon game ever made.
You know, I kind of thought that same thing. Like, even when you had the transfer cable back in the day, that was
still
always a
issues.
Risk you ran, right?
Yes, it was. And you also, like, I've done the whole thing where I've been on Wi-Fi transferring Pokemon, and the Wi-Fi went out, and it's just gone. It's
That's
gone
it.
To the ether. It's never, yeah.
You're, no.
I lost some good like that, but I can't remember what it was, and I was, like, mad about it for a day.
For those upset that Telltale's shutdown would hamper the release of their popular Walking Dead game, have no fear. Work has continued on the game from Skybound Games, and they've also brought on many of the original development staff to assist in finishing the title.
Good. Yes. Good. And I hope that they end up
keeping them on.
Yeah, I hope they end up keeping on some of that talent there, too.
That's a complicated issue. Skybound Games does more board games, I think.
Oh,
usually.
Really?
Well, Skybound is a division of Image Comics.
You know, perfect.
Runs Walking Dead.
Listen, perfect time to start getting into video game development, and you've got a really good staff right there, so why not keep the momentum going?
Yeah, I'm sure they have done some video games, I just don't know any off the top of my head. For those of you eagerly awaiting Kingdom Hearts 3, we have some good news. Director Tetsuya Nomura has confirmed with the release of their final trailer that work on the game has officially concluded. The game is on track for release January the 29th of 2019.
Yeah, they confirmed that because Tabata hit the streets and said he won't work on it no more, so they couldn't push the game back.
So basically the game is not finished, in your opinion. It's as done as it's going to be.
Oh, I don't know.
Man.
We'll see.
It's going to be 15 all over again.
Listen, I'm just saying that their track record does not have me setting my hopes very high.
Nomura's track record in particular.
Thank
man.
You.
I'm worried. If you didn't buy a Steam Link, then you apparently weren't alone, but your time is running out. Valve has stated that the supply of the device used to stream Steam games to your TV is dwindling and intimated that the hardware won't see further production. Instead, focus will be placed on the app, which allows your mobile device to act in a similar capacity.
Listen, I feel like this may be one of those things that's appreciated in like 2 or 3 years. You know, like the
Dreamcast.
Or no, the Vita TV. Specifically the Vita TV. Have you tried to buy one of those right now? It's like $200 or $300 bucks.
Whoa.
Where you can find it. I picked up mine for $30 new.
Wow.
But it was a new product, and they couldn't move any of them. And it took a few years. It took the PlayStation 4 penetrating into the market a little bit more and a little bit more meaningfully, and now people understand the value of it and they want it. Look what you did, Sony. You came out of the gate a little bit too strong and too early, and they probably shouldn't have even shut down the production of it, because I'm not paying $200 for a Vita TV. That's insane.
No, that's crazy. That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. League of Legends has announced that they formed a partnership with Marvel to begin producing comics centered around their various champions.
Yes!
Joe.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
All right, so I'm very excited about this.
Me too.
League of Legends has always had a very complicated relationship with their lore, because their earliest lore was that all the champions were like people who could be summoned to fight on Summoner's Rift. That's why it was called that. And that got very, very difficult to start handling as you start adding more and more like big people in. Oh, this person is the embodiment of Demacia. Right. This person is the embodiment of death. Okay, great. Why do they fight on Summoner's Rift? more reasons. So, you know, it got very hard to continue handling that as they put new heroes in. So eventually they just kind of scrapped that whole concept, and now every new champion that comes out has their own kind of lore. They play loosely with one another, and there's a very loose lore for the universe. This is going to give them a chance to finally start digging deeper on some of their characters. And, you know, if it at the end of the day doesn't make any sense, they can say, oh, that's the comic books. Whatever. I still want to know more about these champions.
And the thing is that when you go to the League of Legends website right now, right, and you go to the universe tab or whatever, where most of the lore is,
yeah,
right?
For Runeterra, the world.
Yeah, and you look it up, it has so much potential. When you look at it, you go, oh man, this is cool. I would love to learn more about this stuff and get into it more, but there's no other place to go to it for more.
Right, they've got so much like good starting point here. Yeah. You've got Noxus, which is your progress at all costs, Andrew Ryan Rapture kind of world. Mm-hmm. You've got Demacia, your paragons of justice. But they're probably really racist also. people. You've got Bilgewater, your one-stop shop for freaking pirate people.
You've got Piltover and Zaun, which is basically rich steampunk, poor steampunk.
Pretty much, yeah.
What else?
The Shadow Isles, yep. All spooky people come from there.
You know, as awesome as this is, though, like just looking at how Blizzard handles their lore and like the way that fans are like ravenously like, you know, hungering for certain characters that haven't been touched.
Right.
I can definitely see that some people can be like, all right, cool. Ash, that's awesome. When are you going to get to my character? See, 1 in 100.
And that's the biggest thing, is because there's so many champions, yeah, that it will take time for them to get to your favorite character. Ash is a good starting point.
But I think that, yeah, first of all, Ash is a good starting point because she's a starter character. And so a lot of people, when they're first introduced to the game itself,
On the tutorial, you play as Ash.
I think this is a really dope idea because maybe you don't need to necessarily have like an issue per character or wait 50 issues for a story about your character to come out. If you do it properly, this could easily be something. This could just be, you know, League of Legends ancillary content. This could easily just be, hey guys, you want to know more about the world of League of Legends? There you go.
Yeah.
And it could be great if they do it right.
So I like that they got Marvel to do this, because this is totally the kind of thing that normally I think you would see Titan Comics jump in on. Zenoscope, maybe Dark Horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone like that.
Yeah, can't wait till we see Ash as a Nazi. That's going to be real cool.
You know what? That's it. So the way they're doing it is interesting. Marvel is producing and assisting with it. They've got an artist coming in, and they've also got the main writer front is actually from Riot.
That's good. That's interesting.
So yeah, they are actually bringing an official, you know, Rioter in to take care of the writing.
And I keep catching those League of Legends commercials that they've got them inserted on Adult Swim and Comedy Central now.
The animated ones. Yeah.
And every time I see them, I'm like, this.
Make a show.
This is awesome. It is so awesome. And I love the idea that it even, you know, like you've got different spots that are centered around different pros.
Absolutely.
And even not even pros, like just the concept of playing League of Legends as a team. I love those. So, you know, I think like a project like this is very welcome. But listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think of the partnership between Marvel and Riot? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, at Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, is Blizzard walking into a conflict of interest situation? That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're making a list and our family better check it twice. We're going to build our holiday wish list here ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. Checkpointradio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio, 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports, 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com for full episodes on demand, both of our weekly national show and the brand new Checkpoint Daily. We've also got podcasts like the Checkpoint Podcast, our Overwatch Podcast, Low Team Damage, and premiering this week, we've got a brand new podcast all about comic books and superheroes called The Other Identity. Find it all over at CheckpointXP.com. If you've ever listened to Checkpoint XP, then you know how much we love lists.
Love them.
Love them. Well, we're going to build a more personal list this week with the holidays upon us. We figured that we should probably get our wish list together. Now, we're not necessarily looking for, you know, physical items, although they certainly can be. These can be any wish your little heart desires. So we're going to give you ours, and we're also going to get some of the wishes of our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. So make sure that you join and follow so that you can get in on bits like this in the future.
So I wanted to kick this off. The thing that I want most in this world, first off, my first wish is that in 2019, Santa, I hope you're listening, Square Enix will announce an HD remake of Final Fantasy XI is on the way.
That's not happening.
No. That is never happening.
That's a wish. I'm not going to say things that are going to happen next year.
I'm just, for my first wish,
it's literally the definition of wishful thinking.
Yeah, right. It'd be nice.
It's a wish list.
It'd be nice, but yeah, I don't think so.
It's got to be rooted in reality somewhere.
All right, Norris, we'll do one of yours. I hope that in 2019, a new fighting game will be announced.
Well, that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
So,
well, what are you actually wishing for, Norris? Huh?
Actually, my list is not, you know, quite what everybody would think it is. Is I hope that Runaway is completely signed as they exist currently to the Vancouver OWL team.
Nice.
And that they win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mine is actually in a similar vein to both yours and Joe's. I hope, and I'm not going all the way, but I hope Gaguri leads the Shanghai Dragons to at least playoff contenders.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, that could happen.
That's my one for the world right
yeah,
there.
That could happen. Yeah. Happiness for everyone.
That's right.
Happiness for everyone. Uh-huh. I agree. Nate?
Man, I'm struggling over here. I feel like, you know, we've had a pretty good year in gaming.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not someone who sits around and wants for a whole lot, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think if it could be one thing, it would be to see more third-party developers embrace the Switch.
Ooh,
I'm loving,
very good.
loving my experience on the Switch, right? Like, the battery life leaves a little bit to be desired, but, you know, there were some great projects that were on the Vita and really showcased the strength and the power of that system, and I'd love to see more of those sort of, like, AAA designed and developed games specifically for the Switch. I think that would be something that I'd love to see in 2019.
Interesting. How about our Twitch chat?
Oh, we got a great one from Little Guy Gamer here. My wish would be for a prequel sequel to Legend of Dragoon.
Ooh!
On the PS4.
Oh, Little Guy Gamers, like that. It, honestly, that is
that's a good
that's
one.
A good
that is
one.
A really
that's
good,
a good
one.
That's a good one.
Because, like, dude, Legend of Dragoon was such an interesting one-off because it was legitimately a very well-told game, a well-told story, a well-designed game. But if they brought it back, like in 2018. You don't think it would be turn-based, would it? Like,
it better be.
That's what I would want from it. I would want it to be like a real throwback to the original Legend of Dragoon, but I sort of feel like that they would Square Enix it.
Ugh, let's hope
and
not.
Give it like action combat and stuff like that. Like that's
you're right. That's what would happen.
Right?
Though.
Like that's, but that's not what I want. I would not want that at all.
Mm-hmm. That's dangerous. All right. So for my next one, I want at the end of next year sometime, I want Toby Fox to announce that he has assembled his team. They are well on their way, and Deltarune is slated to release in 2020.
Ooh.
I don't know you'll get the 2020 part, but the rest is possible.
The rest is very possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Norris?
All right. I've been thinking long and hard about this one, and what I hope is that this very show, Checkpoint, is the only place Ninja comes to do any big announcements.
Oh, wow. Well, that was
that's a big
both
one.
Very selfish, unlikely, and selfish.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Again. Which makes it a good pick, honestly.
Oh, yes.
That makes it a really good pick. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. We're currently building our own personal holiday wish list. If Santa could bring us anything in the world, even if it was, I don't know, a massive management shakeup at a company like Square Enix, then that is even on the table. So, Robbie, I believe it is on you.
Speaking of Square Enix, I'd like to see them do a pivot and start to do some children's type games. And I would love them to start with a prequel. This one's for Joe, to FF8 of all of the characters as kids in the orphanage.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would maybe be the worst thing ever made.
So what? I mean,
and team
what,
up with Accolade for it.
Time compression babies? Like, is that what we're going for?
It would be a prequel when they're in the orphanage. Yeah.
I know, right? But you'd have to make it like the Muppet Babies. And
Get the World of Final Fantasy people to do it all chibi Funko
chibi
Pop
style. Tiny Toon
Adventures.
I think
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, man.
You're welcome.
Yep.
All right, Joe, so just make sure I have that set. Prequel to FF8 centered around their time in the orphanage.
Yep.
You're a really spiteful person, Robbie. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, Nate, how about you? What's your second wish?
I think my second wish would be that turn-based, AAA turn-based games make a strong resurgence in 2019.
Would you say you want Square Enix's next big announcement to be a AAA turn-based game?
You know, I don't think it even needs to be Square Enix. I'd like, as someone who has my fanboy roots in Square Enix, right? Like, I think that would be cool, but it doesn't have to be Square Enix, right? Like, I loved Lost Odyssey, and even though, yes, that came from an ex-Square Enix employee, I think that I would accept it out of almost any company at this point.
We got Jeremy in the Twitch chat saying, real wish, please let Detective Pikachu usher in a dawn of good video game movies.
Jeremy, yes, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Oh, man. There is a weird amount of hope centered around that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because if that one doesn't work out, like, let's be frank, if that one doesn't get it done where you've got Ryan Reynolds, you've got an actually interesting art style for the movies, you've got a decent concept, it looks like they're sticking true to the source material. If that one doesn't work,
what does?
Can anything?
I don't know, because they are at the same time straying so far from it, too. The fact that you can talk to Pikachu, like if you did a listen, we're going to get tied up in a whole different conversation. We're going to have to leave it right there, but we want to hear from you. Share your holiday wish list with us. Maybe you can get a Secret Santa gift from one of us here at Checkpoint. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook, Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, could Blizzard be setting themselves up for a potential conflict of interest? Seriously, I need somebody to explain this because I do not understand what's going on here. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio, CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. Make sure you're following us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Throughout the week, you can also tune in for Checkpoint XP shows at our Twitch channel. When you do, you can subscribe to our channel using your Amazon Prime membership at no additional charge. When you subscribe to Checkpoint XP on Twitch, Twitch, you get extra benefits. It's free when you use your Amazon Prime membership. Just go to twitch.tv/checkpointxp and join us during the week for more insight on esports and to be a part of the show. So Blizzard is walking a dangerous line with the OWL right now. You ever considered who exactly the companies are that own the teams in OWL? Because it's starting to raise a few eyebrows.
Yeah, so this actually started as a concern last season. One of the team that actually owns the Shanghai Dragons, NetEase, they are Blizzard's licensing partner in China. So that kind of raised some eyebrows at potential conflicts of interest there.
What does that exactly mean, their license? Partner.
So when Blizzard games are distributed in China, goes through NetEase.
So does that make them sort of the go between Blizzard and
the Chinese market.
The Chinese government or whatever the portion of the Chinese government that approves things for sale in China.
You've got the idea.
Okay.
So now season two, those waters have gotten a little bit more muddy. We have Huya, who's a Chinese live streaming company. They're partially owned by Tencent, and the agreement when Tencent started taking out some of their some interest in the company allows them to eventually own 50.1% of
the
company.
So they'll be majority owners of that company.
Okay, so this is a live streaming platform.
Right.
Yes. Like Twitch would be.
Now, and Huya now owns the Chengdu Hunters.
Okay, so now this is sort of like a Chinese competitor to Twitch, right?
Sure.
But it's Chinese only, right? Like it's marketed for the Chinese region.
Marketed for behind the firewall.
Okay, so to my knowledge, the only exclusive deal that OWL has at all for any kind of broadcast rights exists with Twitch.
With Twitch.
Okay, so this would be a little bit, if I was to draw a little bit of a parallel here, this would be a little bit like maybe if Amazon decided they wanted to own a team in the OWL, that may raise a few eyebrows and make people pause and go, well, wait a minute, what about that millions of dollars that you just did for the exclusivity?
Right.
Exactly.
That's part of it. The other part of it, so Bilibili, which is a video content, they're a platform for that.
Sure.
They're another Chinese company that are also in a purchase agreement with Tencent, and they're now the owners of the Hangzhou team.
Okay.
So Tencent owns controlling interest in two different teams.
Well, but they own portions of those companies. They don't own controlling stakes in those companies.
Here's the thing. If these agreements are true, Huya, they will be majority owners. 50.1% is majority owner.
Okay.
If the same purchase agreement with Bilibili is the same, where eventually they would become majority owners of Bilibili.
We don't know the details of that
purchase agreement, but that essentially would mean that Tencent
would have two controlling teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Two teams
now,
in the OWL.
Here's why this is all problematic.
Yeah, how does this affect me as a viewer?
Tencent also is 5% owners of Blizzard, and they're also owners of League of Legends. There are massive conflicts, and PUBG, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are massive conflicts of interest there. So what you can't get to a point now, if Blizzard, who is partially owned by Tencent, even if a small part, ever shows favoritism or a perceived favoritism to either of those two teams, that is going to be an ugly line to walk real quick.
Yeah, but I mean that also gets into the fairness and equity of the way that the sport is administered, though. And I think that, man, that would have to be some really dirty dealings if it ever went that far. But I do understand the concern, at least over, conflicts of interest, especially right when you kind of draw that parallel to, let's say if Amazon wanted to get active in this space, how complicated it would be for them legally to both be a broadcast entity in the space and also a team operator and owner in the space as well.
And here's how I see it. Like, let's say that someone who is a partner in the NBA, right? Someone who owns a portion of the NBA bought a team. They happen to win the draft lottery that year and get the number one overall
pick. Then everybody
pick.
Goes,
oh, really? The team that is partially owned by the NBA just got the draft lottery number one pick. That is a very...
Then the following year, the other team that some other guy who has a partial ownership of the NBA wins the draft lottery the following year.
Okay, but I mean, as a fan... I can kind of go like, okay, but who cares, right? Like,
you care if you're a fan of the other team.
You wouldn't say who cares, because it would be akin to essentially fixing a draft lottery or fixing the results.
Yeah, but there's no proof. You would have to have proof that those results were somehow fixed.
But why open yourself?
The appearance of suspicion does not mean that
that's
there
true.
Has been anything inappropriate.
But why open yourself up to it? Because right
well, because
here,
Tencent is enormously ubiquitous in the esports and video game space, especially when you're talking about China. I don't think that we should be surprised sitting around here going, oh, well, Tencent has its fingers in a couple of companies that are interested in owning OWL teams. Is that really so big of a shocker?
Hold on. You said that this actually goes all the way back to season one, because technically there was a little bit of a conflict of interest with the Shanghai Dragons, right?
Yes.
They went 0-40.
They
What's
did.
The problem?
Okay. So here's the situation that I'm worried about. We see late in the season, Hangzhou is doing very well, right? They're doing pretty good.
Okay.
They've got a couple more teams that they got to go up against. One of them's Chengdu. And Chengdu looks like they threw the match. Or they just play very badly that
then
day.
Then you've got
that's
then,
ugly.
Fine. Then investigate it, vet it, and figure it out.
But that's a problem for league administration. But that's the point of why even open your league up to something like that. That's the issue. If you're sitting here and you're talking about potentially you could have a situation where a team could throw against another team because they're all owned by the same company, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But that's a massive problem.
But again, you're overstating the problem because it's a partial ownership. I understand that in time Tencent may be a controlling owner of one of those companies. There's no evidence that they're going to be in another. There's no evidence that they have any influence on anything that goes on the esports end of either of these companies.
Yeah.
I think that this is a little bit of jumping to conclusions here.
I mean, we're trying to paint out though where this could go because you know,
and that's my point is that this is completely hypothetical,
right,
and I don't know that these concerns are entirely well found.
But we know where fans will go. It won't have to be proven that it happened for that to become the optics of the situation.
And it won't have to be proven for people to start divesting their ad dollars from the OWL.
Now, that's a point I understand. And I also understand that the appearance has to be of fairness, especially when you're talking about betting, Vegas odds, those sorts of things. And we know how much Vegas wants to be able to get into the esports world. So you're right. Fairness is something, and sportsmanship is something that does need to be taken into account. But I don't think if somebody, you know, if a company owns a 10% stake in a multiple companies, I mean, Tencent is so huge, I just don't know how you are active in the esports space and you are able to avoid something like this.
Here's the example. If this was the NFL and you had one company that was a minority owner in two different teams, you would not be having the same discussion.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website over at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us tomorrow as we're going to be recording a couple of more segments for our national show, and join us live at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus and, of course, my co-hosts, who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.